Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Folks, we're going on grid.
This is Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
Fantasy Sports Today is back for hour number two. We have some news from the NBA and NFL, and of course we break down the latest in fantasy baseball as Fantasy Sports Today. Hour number two starts now.
It's Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It is Craig Mish along with Frank Stample here on the show. Of course, Chris Pavona is our producer here on the show. We got you until 1 o'clock here on the East. And Frank, looks like we got some breaking news in the NBA. Why don't you tell everybody all about it?
Yeah, Steve Mills has been relieved of his duties as the president of the New York Knicks. And, you know, Steve Mills had been there a long time with James Dolan. We were hoping this move would happen years ago, but it finally happens here. After years of ineptitude, the New York Knicks have made the playoffs just four times since 2001. It's just very interesting timing with the NBA trade deadline coming up here. Scott Perry will now take over as the full-time GM for the foreseeable future with the New York Knicks. So just huge news right ahead of the NBA trade deadline. Let's see if that influences what kind of moves the Knicks make here at the trade deadline.
And before we go to the Sports Grid update here, we will in just a minute here. Your opinion, Frank, does anything legitimately change with the Knicks? I mean, we've been hearing about all these changes for years. I mean, how many presidents have they gone through? They've gone through Phil Jackson. They've gone through Mills. I mean, it seems like it's still right at the top. I mean, if ownership doesn't change, does anything legitimately change? Legit question for me.
So everything that I'm reading on Twitter right now is that the team is expected to pursue Masai Ujiri, who has been the team president of the Toronto Raptors for the past couple of years, and he's done a phenomenal job there. So obviously they're going to interview a bunch of different candidates here. But if you can bring in somebody with clout like a Masai Ujiri or, you know, like a Sam Presti, if they can pry him away from the Oklahoma City Thunder, obviously, you know, that would be massive for the New York Knicks. The problem, you know, they've had candidates in the past, like David Griffin, for example, wanted to be the GM GM of the Knicks, before he signed on with the New Orleans Pelicans. The problem was he was not given full autonomy of the team because Steve Mills was still the president of the team. So, I mean, what's the point of becoming a GM if you can't make the moves and kind of construct the team in your vision? So that's why that's what's deterred others from taking this job with the New York Knicks in the past. So if they can actually lure one of these big-name executives away from other teams where they have had success, we've seen in the past, look, James Dolan is willing to spend money. So if he's willing to spend money on one of these big-name executives, then perhaps things can finally start to turn around here for the New York Knicks, Craig.
All right, with that, let's get more on this breaking story as we have a Sports Grid update with Chris Pavona.
Sports Grid news update.
That's right, Craig. Thank you, Frank, for bringing it up because, of course, the big news out of the NBA is Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted out that league sources told ESPN the New York Knicks are parting ways with President Steve Mills. That is all that's right now all we have on this, but we will definitely keep you guys updated as we know more and also, of course, about who will be the interim GM and, of course, who will be the next GM for the New York Knicks. We also had big NFL news coming from Ian Rappaport on Twitter. The Jacksonville Jaguars announced today the team will play two of their home games at Wembley Stadium over consecutive Sundays in London this upcoming season, making them the first team in NFL history to play two home games outside of the United States in the same regular season. The opponents are still to be determined. And in baseball, guys, the long-time question among Yankees fans, and more specifically Derek Jeter fans, may be, who the hell is that writer? The lone baseball writer who did not vote for Derek Jeter for the Hall of Fame chose to keep the ballot private. The Baseball Writers Association of America released the ballots of 315 Hall voters on Tuesday, and all public ballots included the longtime New York Yankees captain. Jeter and Larry Walker will be inducted July 26th at the Hall in Cooperstown, along with catcher Ted Simmons and former Players Association head Marvin Miller, who were voted in last month by the Hall's Modern NBA Committee. That is all the news for now from me, Chris Pavona, and we are going to give back to Fantasy Sports Today.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Straight ball, I get it very much. Curveball, that's our friend.
Yes. Craig Mish and Frank Stanfill.
You got to take a view. That's, I offer a cigar, bro.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Frank here with you on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and also on Sports Grid. Good to be here with you as we are on this Tuesday, a week away from pitchers and catchers in Major League Baseball, NBA trade deadline coming. A lot of fun stuff to cover today. Of course, Pharrell will have a lot of updates on everything happening in the world of sports wagering later today at the FanDuel Sportsbook. We got the Fantasy BFFs coming your way at a little bit later this afternoon as Frank heads over to New York along with Greg Sussman, so stay tuned to that as well. And Frank, we just got the kind of update here on the story where the New York Knicks have made a big change and they've decided to part ways with their team president. And Frank, you think that this is something that will be positive. Am I correct here? Because, again, no disrespect to the Knicks or any other team, but they've made so many changes through the years. I hate to say it's like a Washington Redskins situation, but it sure feels like that with the Knicks.
Yeah, I think that that's definitely fair to say. And we just got another tweet from Adrian Wojnarowski on Twitter. Owner James Dolan is targeting Toronto president Masai Ujiri, so that confirms what we kind of thought and what we've heard. To ultimately oversee New York's operations, league sources tell ESPN he is under contract through 2020-2021 in Toronto. So we'll see if the Knicks can pry someone like Ujiri away. Obviously, you know, he's done such a great job in building up that Raptors team. They won the championship last year. They remain competitive 1 year after trading away, or rather Kawhi Leonard leaving the team. So, the Knicks have been fleeced before by Masai Ujiri in trades, trading for Andrea Bargnani in the past as well. So I think it makes a lot of sense to target someone like that. And obviously, if Ujiri came in, he'd have say over, his people that he wants to bring in, probably would be a change at GM as well. And obviously, he'd oversee all of basketball operations. So honestly, Craig, I can't see how it can get worse based on what, Steve Mills has done as long as he's been with the Knicks. Again, they've made the playoffs four times since the year 2001. And based on a team that plays in such a massive market in New York and how much this team is worth and the fact that they've been a team that has to build through the draft, that shouldn't be the case, right? Like, if you're a team with that is worth this much money and playing in a market like this. You should be able to lure free agents to play with the Knicks, and they haven't been able to do that. So we'll see if they can turn that around. But obviously, this is huge news, and I expect more to come in the coming days as we approach the NBA trade deadline.
Yeah, and again, for those of you who are familiar with my work, and I've expressed this many times, is that once upon a time I was a huge NBA fan. I still follow the Miami Heat here in South Florida because, of course, I've covered them for almost two decades. But in terms of fantasy, my knowledge at this stage is more, and even wagering to that degree, is more or less limited to the NFL, college football, college basketball, and Major League Baseball. So we'll be leaning on Frank for the NBA, no doubt about that. But I can certainly understand the sentiment being a fan of the Knicks. But forgive me if I'm cynical at the idea that as long as that owner is still in charge, I find it very hard to believe that a lot changes. I will say this, and you bring up a really good point, Frank. You're playing in arguably the most popular and decorated stadium in the world in terms of the NBA. And how the Knicks have been bad for this long and so consistently bad for this long is embarrassing. Like that, I mean, how is that even possible? Like, you would think that once every 5, 6, 7 years you'd be good. Like, just by falling on dumb luck. And you could make the case like that in every sport. And again, no disrespect to the Kansas City Royals. I mean, the Kansas City Royals went to back-to-back World Series. In the NFL, the Carolina Panthers went to a championship. You know, they went to Super Bowls. So, I mean, you would think that just at some point the Knicks would be good. The Raptors won the championship,
yeah,
you know?
I agree completely, right? Look, I'm a diehard Knicks fan, have been my entire life. My favorite sport growing up was basketball. It's the first sport that I played as well. So, look, I've watched this organization, this franchise, this team very closely my entire life, and you're absolutely right. I think it's just the most recent moves that this team has made. I mean, if you're the owner of the team, how do you sit there and watch Kristaps Porzingis with the Mavericks back-to-back games put up over 35 points and just know that you traded him away last year to clear cap space in order to sign max free agents, and then you wind up with zero max free agents, and instead you sign four power forwards in a league where it's trending towards smaller basketball and outside shooting. They're one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the NBA right now. So I think just the culmination of really these most recent moves for the Knicks, just not being able to land any big-name free agents this past summer, signing just a bunch of, you know, misfit players to come in and play on one-year contracts. And basically that's the reason why you traded Kristaps Porzingis away, someone who has been referred to as a unicorn, Craig. You know, someone who's 7'2", who can shoot, you know, 35 feet away from the basket. It's just, you know, one of those not mind-numbing moves that they've made under this tenure. And I think just seeing those things in the recent play is why we end up with Steve Mills outed here today ahead of the NBA trade deadline.
All right, so there you have it, the latest on the Knicks. More information than I could have ever delivered. That's why it's great to have Frank here to be able to tell you all about that, as well as Chris Bifona in his Sports Grid updates. But coming up next, we'll dive into the New York Mets. Tim Healy's getting ready to head to Port St. Lucie next week to cover them. I'll be seeing him in spring training, no doubt about that. But let's get a little bit of a preview of what the spring could look like as Tim joins us next from Newsday. Don't go away. More fantasy sports today coming up next. Frank Stampfl, Craig Mish, don't go away.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Frank Stanfill. Fantasy Sports Today.
Straight ball, I get it very much. Curveball, that's all, Frank.
Yes. Craig Mish and Frank Stanfill.
You got to take fear from bats. I offer a cigar, bro.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Frank Stanfill here on the show. We're closing in on spring training. And a great time of the year to be in South Florida. And, of course, somebody who's covered it for a number of years on the Mets side, on the Marlins side. You, of course, can follow him on Twitter at Tim B. Healy, H-E-A-L-E-Y. He covers the Mets for Newsday, also the author of Hometown Hardball. And a lot of fun, a lot of snark, a lot of good ways that the Mets are covered. That's a great follow on Twitter for you guys throughout the season in both fantasy and reality, because he gets the game of reality and absolutely gets the game of fantasy. Tim Healy joins us now. Tim, Frank, and Craig, good afternoon. Thanks for coming on the show.
Happy to. How are you guys?
Doing very well. All right, so let's kind of start off with this. How soon will we be able to put this whole managerial thing, do you think, on the Mets side, Tim, behind us here? Not a fantasy question, but a reality question, because I saw the tweet the other day from some fan who bought tickets, I believe.
Yeah.
Was it spring training or the regular season that had Beltran on there?
Spring training tickets.
Okay. So how soon do you think we'll be able to put this behind us here?
I think we're very close to putting it all behind us. I'm sure it'll be a topic of conversation for the first couple of days of spring training next week. Pitchers and catchers report Monday. I think the first full squad workout is a week after that. So after those initial, you know, chit-chat with players for their first time in camp, those sort of interviews, after that, I think it'll pretty much be over. But as far as the Mets' involvement in this sign-stealing saga, they unfortunately got dragged into it via hiring Beltran. They dumped him, got Luis Rojas, who is a great accidental hire to make. And so I think it's from the Mets' perspective, it's very close to over.
All right, so if we're able to move on from this and we're able to move on soon, when pitchers and catchers report, I think at least the initial story in terms of what's new for the Mets, for people who may be just, you know, starting to wake up to baseball, would be the pitching additions that the Mets have made with Porcello and Waka and, of course, Dellin Betances. Now, certainly they've made some offensive changes as well, but to me, it's really about some of these pitchers that have been added, Tim. So what do you think the purpose was of that with the Mets, and how do you think that the changes will work for them this year?
You're right. Most of their all-season additions have been on the pitching side, but Betances in the bullpen could be great. I think the bullpen could really go either ways. Edwin Diaz had a terrible year. Jerry Familia had a terrible year. Seth Lugo was excellent again. So if all of those chips fall the right way for the Mets, including Betances coming off a year in which he pitched in one game, then they can have a terrific bullpen. Will all the chips fall in the right direction? Probably not, but maybe enough of them will for the Mets' sake. Rotation-wise, They did add Rick Porcello and Michael Wacha, which I found super interesting because they already had four starters penciled in to the rotation in DeGrom, Syndergaard, Mats, and Stroman. Wow, I'm a little rusty there. It took me a second to remember Stroman. So going into camp, they have six pretty established starters for five spots. So there's going to be a little bit of a battle there and a little bit of a decision on the Mets' part, pending injury, of course. So it's going to be real interesting to see which of those guys, if any, end up in the bullpen, which is, another question mark, another moving piece as far as the pitching situation goes for the Mets.
Hey, Tim. Frank Stanfill here. Thanks so much for joining us today. One of those pitchers that is locked into the rotation is Noah Syndergaard, and fantasy owners and Mets fans alike are waiting for Syndergaard to return to that 2016 form when he posted a 2.60 ERA, 218 strikeouts, and 183 and two-thirds innings pitched. Since then, he either can't stay healthy, or when he does stay healthy like he did last year, he didn't really perform up to the level that we expected him to. So what is it going to take in 2020? How do we get there this upcoming season with Noah Syndergaard?
How does he get there as a dominant pitcher again, you mean?
Yeah, how does he put it all together, in terms of, being able to stay healthy, but also delivering us the results that, we've seen him, give us in the past?
That's a great question, and if the Mets have the answer, then they might be an actual division title contender this year. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that Noah Syndergaard and his return to that 2016 form, or even something close to it, to be honest, is a huge piece in whether the Mets are good or just mediocre again. Because you're right, 2016, amazing. Helped the Mets get to that wild card game. In 17, he was mostly hurt. In 18, he was hurt and just okay. And last year, he wasn't good last year. It was kind of confounding. So which Noah Syndergaard is going to show up this year, I don't know. I think I'm still willing to bet on the talent and the stuff and all of that. But here we are, going on a half decade into his major league career, and we're still waiting for, former top prospect, perennial would-be Cy Young contender Noah Syndergaard to actually be that. He's still only 27, doesn't turn 28 till August, I think. So he's not old by any means, but there's only 2 years till free agency. So it's getting time to put up or shut up for Noah Syndergaard. And I think that's absolutely one of the main themes, one of the main storylines of the Mets season heading into spring training.
No doubt. Tim Healy is with us. Syndergaard in fantasy, I always say he's kind of like the Rob Gronkowski of tight ends. Like, you draft him once, Tim, and then you love him when you get him, and then you don't ever want to do it again. It's just kind of
right.
Everyone has their go-around with him. But hopefully this is the year for sure. And DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman, Wacha, Porcello, even Mats. Strong rotation for the Mets going into the season, no doubt. We'll get back to the bullpen in just a second. Let's go to the offense here. Look, you can't argue with Brody Van Wagenen getting J.D. Davis. I mean, that was a nice ad for the Mets for sure.
Terrific one.
And I liked him in Houston, honestly, Tim. I thought that he was, sometimes Houston, with all the talent they have to, punt some of these players, and they punted him. Mm-hmm. They punted Teoscar Hernandez. They traded all those prospects to get Zach Greinke. But Davis in particular never got a real shot with the Astros, and I would ask you, defensively, is his glove good enough to play every day in left field? I know McNeil's probably going to be the third baseman there. So I guess from a plate appearance projection, if healthy, is it safe to say 500 plate appearances, or is that stretching it?
It might be stretching it, and I'll tell you why. You're right about McNeil penciled in at third base. He should be the basically everyday guy there. Left field for the Mets is a little cloudier. And the biggest piece of J.D. Davis getting 500 at-bats might be Yoenis Cespedes, who seems to be in remarkably good shape coming off his very badly broken ankle last year and the two heel surgeries the year before that. He hasn't played since July 2018, but seems to be raring to go. And I'm still sort of I'll believe it when I see it mode with Cespedes and playing in major league games and playing regularly for that matter. But as far as left field goes for the Mets, yes, I expect Davis to get most of his time in left field.
But whether he gets most of the Mets time in left field depends on Cespedes, depends on if Davis can be as good a hitter as he was last year, and it depends on Jake Marisnyk in center and whether it shifts Nimmo over to left some days. So there's a lot of moving pieces there in left field, particularly for the Mets. But I have to think depth chart-wise, J.D. Davis is at the top of it right now. I'm just not super confident in penciling him in for 500 at-bats at this moment without knowing Cespedes' status 100%.
Yeah, so what I was about to ask you, Tim, was, you know, what is the plan for Cespedes as of now, right? Because, you know, obviously he's making all this money, but are they going to find a way to try and get him in the lineup, you know, to start the season maybe just as a part-time player, like 2-3 times a week, even if that, because they have a lot of outfielders, as you mentioned, right? They have J.D. Davis in the corner, they have Conforto, they have Nimmo in center field as well, and they bring in Marisnyk. So, I mean, what is the plan? Like, what have you heard regarding Cespedes? You know, do they not want to put too much on his plate early on, or is it just dependent on spring training? Like, what is the plan with Cespedes as of now?
It depends in part on spring training, and it depends on how much Cespedes can physically handle. His hitting progression right now is ahead of his defense and running, and depending on how he responds with a greater and greater workload over the course of the next 2 months will determine whether he's on the field at all or how often he's on the field come regular season. It's a huge unknown. The Mets don't really know what to expect right now. And frankly, it's kind of a problem for them because they don't have the DH in the National League. They have this guy who, when healthy, could be a dynamic slugger. But it's not clear that he will be able to play regularly. And if he's only a part-time player and he is on your bench half the week, then it's sort of a problem in terms of having a flexible roster and things along those lines. So there's a lot the Mets need to figure out with Cespedes in left field overall, and how much he can play is near the top of that list.
Well, Tim, always good catching up with you. If you don't mind, I will ask you one more time to do this to really help out our fantasy listeners in the month of March when we get closer to the draft season. And,
sure.
And don't think that this is weird at all, but I am very much looking forward to seeing you. Spring training is here. I'm looking forward to chop it up. And
likewise.
And I can't wait to catch up and talk some baseball with you at the ballparks here in South Florida. Have a very safe trip later this week, and we'll catch up soon. Thank you again for making the time.
Sounds good. Thank you, Craig.
All right. Tim Healy with us here talking Mets baseball as spring training is next week in the state of Florida and the state of Arizona. So here's what we'll do. We'll take a quick time out on Fantasy Sports Today. When we come back next, it's time to dive into some player evaluation process, how Frank and I both decide on who to take in the month of March in fantasy baseball. Is it analytics? Is it the eye test? Is it based on information? Is it based on anything else? You'll have to stay tuned and find out. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid and the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Don't go away.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish and Frank Stanfill here with you on the show. We're going to get into some player evaluation here on Fantasy Sports Today. Of course, we got you until 1 o'clock on the East. Frank and I will be back tomorrow. The League of Alternative Baseball Reality Mixed League Draft is tonight. Way too early, by the way. But they'll do it tonight. And a nice little way to kind of start off the industry. And so, Frank, I believe you and I will have a chance to discuss this this draft tomorrow on the show. We'll see if we can maybe get one of the participants to talk about what they did. But I will tell you this. This will not be a show where we bring someone on and say, I love what you did here, and I love what you did here, and I love what you did there. It's not my show. I won't do that, Frank. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, so we just get to have somebody on and pick apart their team. What's not to like about that? Sign me up. Let's go,
that's
Craig.
That's it. That's what it is. You listen, if you're going to be in this draft, you got to be able to take that. That's not to say I won't like a pick or two, of course, but my gosh, like the love has to, you know, be to a limit, at least for me. That's for sure. So takeaway from Tim Healy, Frank, before we move on to some player evaluation here on the Mets.
Yeah, I actually just tweeted this out during the break. I'm so happy that you asked about J.D. Davis. I actually had the same exact number of plate appearances written down because I wanted to ask him about J.D. Davis. Can he get to 500 plate appearances? And, you know, he kind of seemed like it was a stretch there. And, look, it's hard to argue with that based on the possibility that Cespedes can be a part-time player. You're not going to play Cespedes in center field, so he's got to play one of the corner outfield positions. And then, you know, I would have to imagine that you want to leave Conforto in there most of the time over someone like J.D. Davis, which is just, it kind of sucks, to be honest, because J.D. Davis is one of these guys last year that was a StatCast hero. I mean, the guy just makes massive amounts of hard contact. I want to see what he can do with everyday playing time. You know, he might play, I don't know, if they have six games, he might play four or five games out of the week. But, you know, I really want to see J.D. Davis as a full-time player and what we can possibly get out of that. So that was one of my takeaways when it came to having Tim here on the show. And I'm happy he was able to elaborate a little bit on J.D. Davis specifically.
Yeah, and Davis was someone that I followed in Houston, which is always like when Houston lets go of a player, I'm not always convinced that the player isn't good. I think that, you know, it's just a matter of they have done such a nice job drafting and developing in their farm system that when they let go of a guy, I'm always curious what their skill set is. And it doesn't go for everyone. I mean, for every J.D. Davis, and no disrespect to Tony Kemp, but for every J.D. Davis, there are guys like that that aren't everyday sort of players. But when he was let go, he was somebody that I took a close look at. Of course, Musgrove was involved in a trade, too. Hasn't quite really turned the corner yet for Pittsburgh, but I'm always into those ex-Astros-type players. All right, now let's move on. Frank, something that I know that is deep in your heart is the player evaluation process in fantasy baseball. And we all have our different ways of analyzing players before we take them. I think I probably go about it a lot differently than most people in the industry, and perhaps that's because of some of the access that I'm able to get, but I'd love your thoughts on how you decide as to whether or not you're going to take or not take someone.
Yeah, so we were texting back and forth about this last night, and I would imagine that, you know, our player evaluation process is probably pretty different, right? Because obviously, you know, you're behind the scenes a lot, you're talking to these guys, you're hearing what's going on in their personal lives as well. So I mean you have like a different understanding, and not that you don't look at stats, because I'm sure that you do, but, you know, I'm saying from my perspective, I probably rely even more so on the analytics and, you know, specific underlying numbers, you know, such as for pitchers. You know, I'll look at, for me, a big one is like swinging strike rate, obviously, and like K minus walk percentage and K per nine and walks per nine. And now we're starting to work into the StatCast numbers like spin rate you know, WOBA and expected WOBA. And I don't know if you've heard of ex-WOBACON yet. Ex-WOBACON, that's ex-WOBA on contact. So wow. There you go. It makes you hungry, right? Let me get an ex-WOBACON egg and cheese, huh? Sounds pretty good to me. But, yeah, we have all these different new analytical tools. There are so many different things, and I think that, you know, it's fascinating that we can both win leagues here, Craig, but we can get there in two completely different ways. So for me personally, I try to watch the games as much as possible, but I'd be lying if I said I stood up every night until 1:30 a.m. watching every West Coast game and seeing all the West Coast action that's going on. So I try and catch highlights and watch as much live baseball as I possibly can, but I think it's impossible, if we're being honest, right, to just catch every single second of every single game. So I think that's when you have to rely on the analytics a little bit more, when you don't have an opportunity to kind of watch every single player in every single game. So if you see these surface numbers, you almost kind of use those underlying advanced analytical numbers to kind of back up what you're seeing from a surface level, and that's a lot of what I'm doing when it comes to player evaluation. So I'd like to hear, you know, maybe certain analytics that you might use. Do you just normally look at like the 5x5 numbers, batting average, runs, RBIs, you know, strikeouts, wins when it comes to pitchers, or you know, do you Sure. just focus mainly on, you know, what you're hearing and what you're seeing when players are playing on the field?
Yeah, you know, that's, it's a really interesting question, because I feel very blessed and fortunate to be one of the rare people in the fantasy community. I tend to call it more of a community than industry. So I feel, because industry is, I think it's just so wide scoped and ranging at this point, and I think community is a better word for it. I think it was Mike Gianello maybe who brought that up, but whoever did a great job of that. I feel like I'm part of the community, and I feel like I'm one of the few, if not the only, honestly, person in the fantasy community that is a insider in Major League Baseball that reports on signings and reports on trades and actually is credentialed and covering Major League Baseball. And so with that, I feel more of a deeper responsibility, Frank, to try and engage executive players, media scouts on helping the community through my eyes, ears, and voice. And so I wouldn't say that it's the determining factor for me when I take a player, but I think that it is more incorporated in that decision for me than maybe anybody else in the country. Of course, I look at the general stats, on-base percentage, up or down, year to year, very big for me. K per nine for a pitcher, clearly very big for me. Batted balls in play is something I look at on every single player because I do think that there is a swing of a 10 to 20 point percentage, whether or not batted balls in play are high or low. Like, those are all things that I look at for sure. Weighted on base is part of the conversation as well. But as opposed to using maybe 100% of that data, the one thing that I am involved in very heavily is the only leagues, the AL onlys and the NL onlys. And Frank, one of the most important decisions that you have to make in the AL only or NL only format is playing time, man. Like, playing time is just so big for those counting stats. Maybe not as much for pitchers because it's just simply about health. The guy throws 200 innings, you would expect to get a strikeout per inning from one of your top pitchers. And so you're just basically adding stats and streaming pitchers in order to get those Ks. But when it comes to the position players in the only leagues, you got to know who's going to be on the field. You got to know who's going to start. You got to know who's going to play. And I try as hard as I possibly can throughout the month of March to get those answers for my listeners and get those answers for people on social media who are asking me. And I'm not in Arizona. So certainly I don't have the opportunities like I do have in Florida to be able to cover it in that way. But to me, Frank, I don't know where I would put my discussions and my personal scouting on the pie chart, but it wouldn't be 50%, but it certainly wouldn't be 5% either. Let's put it that way. So it's somewhere I would guess in between where I would tend to gravitate more toward the information that I'm able to get that can help me win leagues. I could certainly give examples of that too, where the process didn't equal the results, and sometimes the process does equal the results. It just depends on the situation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that does make sense. And for me, if I was just kind of breaking down that percentage for myself versus, you know, analytics versus what I see on the field, it's probably 60-40, maybe even closer to 70-30 in terms of on the analytical side versus what I see on the field. But, you know, a few things, again, that I'll just kind of harp on that I really focus on when it comes to pitchers. I focus on, obviously, the 5x5 numbers. You want to know ERA, strikeouts. You want to know whip. But then I'll take it one step further with XFIP. I'll look at swinging strike rate. First pitch strike percentage is very big for me. I like looking at chase rate, how often pitchers are getting opposing batters to chase pitches outside of the strike zone as well. And then when it comes to hitters, again, you have to look at the 5x5 numbers first and foremost, but then you look at the type of contact that they're making. And I look a lot at hard contact, and that's where average exit velocity and the StatCast data comes into play. And I look at launch angle too, because you want to see if someone in the past has hit more ground balls or line drives, and now they're raising that launch angle, maybe you can expect that person to take a step up in the power department in terms of home runs and extra base hits. And we've really seen that the past couple of years, this kind of launch angle revolution. It was started with guys like Daniel Murphy and Josh Donaldson, where they really started to embrace that. So, of course, I think it'll always start for me with the 5x5 numbers here, Craig, and then I'll kind of dig a little bit deeper using some of the other analytical things that are coming about, things that you can find on Fangraphs, things that you can find on like Brooks Baseball on a per-pitch basis. And then I'll also look at Baseball Savant, which is where you can find the StatCast data, where you can see average exit velocity, and then also launch angle and expected batting average and expected slugging percentage to see if someone's either way overperforming their expectations or underperforming expectations. And that's how you can almost kind of identify buy lows and sell highs in season. So I really try to take all of those things into account when trying to figure out players to either draft or obviously buy or sell in season.
Yeah, and that's really good breakdown. And I think that that's definitely a big part of it. And I think specifically to me, Frank, the one thing that I always look for and the one I think issue that I think fantasy players have is kind of trying to figure out which players that have that good first year back it up with the second. There, to me, it's not at the rookie slumps anymore. I have never seen baseball like I've seen in the last 10 years with these bigger, faster, stronger players, Alonso, Alvarez. Like the idea that rookies don't hit and rookies don't perform anymore is a complete fallacy. I mean, they're coming up and they're ready, but it's maintaining it in that second year. You know, Frank, I think for me, that's it. It's like, will Alonso come close to repeating? Will Alvarez come close to repeating? Will Tatis come close to repeating? And if we could solve that mystery, I think we'd be a lot better off. That always seems to be the issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm happy you brought up those three names in particular because look at the value, the cost associated with those players right now. Tatis, a borderline first-round pick. Alonso and Jordan Alvarez, a third-round picks right now, according to the NFBC. So, look, you have to invest very high draft picks in these players that are going into their second year. And I do believe what I said earlier, right? Like, there's going to be an adjustment period for all of these players. You're not just going to take, all right, well, Fernando Tatis played 84 games last year. Let's double the numbers, and that's what we're expecting. Like, oh, yeah, he had 22 home runs, 16 stolen bases, so we have to expect 45 home runs and 30 stolen bases. Like, no, there's no way that he's going to put that up, and it wouldn't be realistic to project that. But specifically, looking at those second-year players and realizing that there is going to be an adjustment period, you are 100% right about, I mean, players really coming out of nowhere in their rookie years and dominating from a fantasy perspective. And I think that's why you really see so many of these industry leagues and high-stakes leagues drafting those prospects because they're trying to find the next Fernando Tatis for this upcoming season.
All right, that will put the cap on that. Interesting conversation, how we analyze. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today in just a couple of minutes.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Frank Stanfill.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Frank here with you. And we got about 15 minutes left here in the show. We've had a fun time being with you the last couple of days. Frank, how's the sports book looking out there today? Hot, cold?
What's up? The sports book is filling up right now. We've got some ponies out here running, and people are getting excited for that. But it's starting to fill up here. We've got some action here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Again, it's a really nice day. Like, we've got some overcast, but expected to be a high of 57 degrees here in the Northeast today. So it's actually some pretty nice weather, and we're filling out pretty nicely here at the Sportsbook.
All right, so from here you take a cab to a bus to a train to a cab to the studio. Is that right? Did I get that right?
Yeah, all the way to Santa Slay, and then they bring me to Greg Sussman.
Impressive, impressive. Sussman's got a lot of money. He can't just, like, send a car to pick you up, like a limo or something?
I mean, that's what I'm saying, right? Like, it's not a joke at this point. Everyone knows Greg Sussman's got money, right? So,
a lot of money.
Come on, man. Like, we're supposed to be best friends. Craig, like, if you and I did a show together, best friends forever, and the only thing that was needed to get me from me to you faster was a quick little car ride. You would pay for my car ride. I believe that.
100%.
We can't be 100%. Best friends forever without you paying for my car ride.
Yeah, I mean, I was a really big fan of Greg Sussman. And now I've started to sour a little bit on him. I mean, it all started with the Jonathan Singleton, drafting. And now, I mean, all of those autographs that he got of Jonathan Singleton and sold them and all that money that he made and he can't even pick you up. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of embarrassing for me. But I was a fan. I have to say now I've lost a little of my fandom for Greg. But all right. I wanted to check this out, Frank, when you have time after the show, because I know you'll have like 8 trips. So you will. So listen to this. So USA Today. Which I would say is a reputable newspaper you would consider to be, Frank. Is that accurate? USA Today?
Yeah.
Still reputable?
I think that's fair to say. Yep.
Okay. Their Twitter handle, USA Today Sports, posted their projections from MLB in 2020. And it says, our 6-person panel's aggregate projections. Now, in those projections, Frank, they spelled Cincinnati wrong, and they called the Miami Marlins the Florida Marlins, okay? And they issued an apology about maybe like 30 minutes after they realized whoever was doing this spelled Cincinnati wrong. And then someone, Anderson Picard, who is a young man who also reports on baseball, tweeted to them, you subtly changed Florida to Miami without issuing an apology to the Marlins. Because, of course, they issued an apology to Cincinnati for not including one of the N's in their name. And USA Today, their Twitter handle, Frank, responded, oh, yeah, that too. Sorry to Marlins fan, all 16 of you. Coming from the USA Today Twitter handle.
So I'm actually looking at this right now, and I'm seeing the apology that they put out for Cincinnati. We're very sorry to the entire city of Cincinnati and all of its fans for getting the third N. Here's an updated version. But you're right. They did not, or if they did issue an apology for the Miami Marlins, not the Florida Marlins, it certainly was not a heartfelt one. I'm starting to believe that they potentially have a Florida man running this Twitter account, Craig Mish.
Yeah, very well said. Very well said. I like it. Good job by you, Frank, here, coming toward the end of the show. All right, back to fantasy baseball we go. Nelson Cruz's ADP is 87. Chris Davis's ADP is 177. And Miguel Andujar, I'm not really sure what they're going to do with this guy. Miguel Andujar's ADP is 256. And for you, Frank, these players seem undervalued. Care to explain?
Yeah, so I think that we are getting these utility-only players. And mind you, I haven't really been a big proponent of the utility-only players. I guess you could put Shohei Ohtani in this category as well. But this seems a little egregious this year, especially the Chris Davis one. Like, I solely believe that he was playing through injury last year. He, like, ran into a wall at Safeco sometime in, like, March, and he, like, banged his hip up. His hip was never the same for the rest of the season, and his numbers suffered because of that. And again, that's where you can't just look at the numbers and say, oh, well, Chris Davis fell off a cliff. He's terrible. You have to kind of have context there and know that Chris Davis was hurt last season, and that's why it affected his production. And I'm not ready to believe that all of a sudden, he just completely fell off the face of the earth. Like, he still makes a ton of hard contact. I believe he's one of the premier sluggers in baseball in terms of hitting home runs. And I believe that if Chris Davis is healthy this year, that he will come close to hitting 40 home runs again, or even exceed hitting 40 home runs. And hopefully we can get him back to the 247 batting average plateau that he seemingly was at every single season. So, I mean, to get him at 177 right now, you're getting guys like, I'll give you Aristides Aquino, for example, who's going around 150, where what are you expecting Aristides Aquino to do? He's probably going to be a batting average liability. You want him to hit for power. Chris Davis does that, and he's done that as one of the best sluggers in the league for the past 4 or 5 seasons, and you're getting him 25 to 30 picks later than Aristides Aquino, and you don't have any playing time concerns either when it comes to Chris Davis. And, you know, I'll say the same thing about Nelson Cruz. We spoke about Jordan Alvarez earlier in the show. Nelson Cruz, I understand. Everyone's worried about the age, right? They're just, you know, I'd rather be 1 year early rather than 1 year late. He's 39 years old. He's going to turn 40 on July 1st this year. But look at what he did last year. Only 120 games played, 311 batting average, 41 home runs, 108 RBIs. That is what guys that are going in like the second round do in the entirety of a season. That's like Aaron Judge's season. And Nelson Cruz did it in 120 games last year. And you're telling me that you're getting Nelson Cruz right now at pick 87? The only reason you're doing that is because of age bias, the fact that he's going to turn 40 this year, and because he's util only. And I get it, right? Like, you don't want to, more often than not, you don't want to clog up your utility spot. But if you can get a player that's going to give you second, third round production, Craig, and you're getting him at pick 87, just because people are worried about his age. Look, I don't know what he's doing. I know that he's had the PED issue in the past. It's really remarkable what he's been able to do at this age and this stage of his career and to keep up this type of consistency. But specifically, I think these three players, and then Andujar, you know, you worry a little bit about the playing time, but that's one of those guys where if he does work himself into an everyday role with the Yankees in that ballpark, in that lineup, and you are getting him at 256 right now, that is another tremendous value. And I think that you are getting those values right now, Craig, because these players are utility-only players. Do you care to agree or disagree and maybe kind of even reveal if you will be on any of these players in the 2020 fantasy baseball season?
Sure. Well, it's the debut of your exit velocity, so I don't want to take too much time here, Frank, and I'd love to hear what you have to say. I will be out on Andujar. I will be out on Nelson Cruz because of age, and I will be in on Chris Davis. I completely agree with your sentiment there. You don't do what he did 3 years in a row and not have that kind of success. So with that, let's send it over to Frank Stampfl as he ends the show with this edition of Exit Velocity.
I feel the need for speed.
Ow! Exit Velocity.
Velocity. Thank you very much, Craig, and the debut of Exit Velocity for myself, Frank Stampfl, here on Fantasy Sports Today. I wanted to talk a little bit about people who are complaining about slow drafts, right? We hear about slow drafts in the NFBC, where we get a lot of our ADP data from. They have the draft champions formats there, where you have drafts that have a one-hour clock, you have drafts with a two-hour clock, drafts with a four-hour clock. I know there are also best ball drafts going on over at Fantrax, which either have a four or even an eight-hour clock maybe. But these are what are considered slow drafts, and normally they take anywhere from two to three weeks to complete them in their entirety. People are complaining about people using their time and it being a long, slow draft. Well, let me remind everyone, this is what you signed up for. How can you complain about a draft being too slow when it's in the title? The title is called a slow draft. So, Craig, I know that you will be competing in the draft and hold for Tout Wars, and that is going to be a slow draft as well. So I hope that you are not one of these people complaining about how long it takes to draft because, again, this is what you sign up for. This is, you know, 1, 2, 4 hour clock. If you want to do a draft and just get it over with, just sign up for one of the express drafts. Sign up for the draft that only takes 1 to 2 hours. So that's my exit velocity for the day. Stop complaining about slow drafts if these are the drafts that you're signing up for. For Craig Mish and our producers, Chris Pavona, Danny Okers, and Window Will, I'm Frank Stampfl. Thank you so much for listening to Fantasy Sports Today. And remember, stay classy, fantasy owners. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast.
I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.